Hi there, I'm Dennis Velko. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of Out Bureau Voices, where we have engaging and delightful conversations with LGBTQ professionals, entrepreneurs, and community leaders from around the world. And our guest today is Yahoo Kleihans from South Africa. He has a technology consulting practice, as well he has turned that into a passion, helping nonprofits slash NGOs in his area to become technically sound. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
Well, absolutely. And sorry, we were having a bit of technical difficulties, which of course I've edited it out, or maybe I'll have it for blooper reels at the end. Stay tuned to the end to find out. Tell us a little bit about yourself. First, maybe a little bit about your consulting practice, and then we'll get into kind of the drivers and the reasons why you started the nonprofit, okay?
Okay. So I am Yahoo Kleihans from South Africa, web developer by trade, or full stack developer as it is known now. I have my roots in the South African military as the air traffic controller for about 7 years, and then the general sent me on a course to do a website for the South African Air Force. That's the moment I knew what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And I've been involved in IT ever since. I'd mostly dabble in the Microsoft space. So I'm a Microsoft developer recently worked on a point of sale system for a big retailer in South Africa, and I had to basically buy my own hardware and software, and that's why I started up my own company. I thought it was, how difficult is it to start up a company? And it took 3 days and a few South African rands. And then the rest of the accreditations is Microsoft and so on, just followed because I've been in the space for about 20 years. I have always wanted to be in the hardware. So next to me is or the hardware space. So next to me is a point of sale device. And I've always wanted to program hardware, which is a career next for me. And the payments and cash solutions industry does not like the poorer and the paupers and the LGBTs and the diversity inclusion. It's not their market. So also it's white male dominated, just to put it plainly. And I created a non-profit organization with a group of people to help other LGBT persons in getting the best of the best. It is sort of a resolution that I made that I never settled for anything but the best of the best. So I signed up with a whole bunch of players in the market, such as Microsoft, Intel, Dell, Android, and Facebook, mostly because we do cross-platform development. But it is to provide the best of the best to the people that I care about. I'm a son of a pastor, so I've said it to people many times before. I'll provide you a tank if that's what you need. Enough is enough. South Africa is not a free and fair country for everybody. It's okay to be of color, but it's not okay to be LGBT. And in some areas of our country, LGBT persons are still murdered and lose their jobs. And that's basically where I see myself. And that's why I started the nonprofit organization.
To recapitulate that is, you started off in the military, you got a special assignment, and then saw the potential for your own practice, vacations and so forth, and got your, all the tools that you needed and started that, and saw the need in your area for the LGBT community and nonprofit NGOs in the area who were not getting the services that they needed and the solutions that they needed due to discrimination. Mm. And I can totally resonate with that, you know, and I hear you that that's happening, of course, you know, in South Africa, but that even still happens, you know, here in the United States. You know, yeah. People lose their jobs due to discrimination. There's people get, you know, like 7% lower pay in both Europe, all over Europe and in the United States, if the hiring manager believes that they're gay or bisexual. And we're talking men here, it's not to exclude the women, but the study was done on gay men. And of course, murders happen. You know, homophobic, you know, hate crimes happen. But of course, I do understand, I see a lot of news every single day, and I see reports, you know, out of South Africa every now and then. And it seems to be a bit regional, more, of course, you know, even here in the US is, you know, larger cities are obviously more open and liberal and accepting versus rural areas. You know, out in the boonies and so forth, or you will just have more conservative evangelical kind of folks. So I get that, but I also, you know, I guess I wanted to give a comparative for you in the audience and saying, yes, I hear you, but I don't think anywhere is devoid of discrimination and hate crimes and so forth. But certainly I understand your desire to try to help and elevate the LGBT community and give them support. So you do, you know, kind of software development, web development, point of sale devices. And I can totally understand the desire to kind of do that so that you have a full solution for them versus just providing software, right? Because, yeah. You know, you need the hardware for it to run on and all of that. And, you know, why just do credit card processing when you could also represent the equipment as well? That's also a very thin margin industry, hardware.
I've always wanted to be in the hardware industry, and it gives me tremendous joy, but there's no cash in the cash business, to be honest with you. And there's more of a future in helping people. Everything's falling into place. So we received, for example, a license for Microsoft Community Training, and we're going to set up training centers. So let us take a few steps back.
Sure.
Just looking at IT, that's not LGBT or anything in particular. There's a scary world of IT. There's a big divide between IT professionals or IT conglomerates and human beings. People don't know, people are afraid to ask questions because they're afraid of being ridiculed. And people don't know, there's a perceived complexity in things like programming. My personal saying is if you actually knew how easy programming is, everybody would become a programmer. So there's actual programs in the IT industry, like Project Origin, that aims to bridge the divide between IT companies and the public. There's a lot of conspiracy theories that go on. Now we're talking about vaccinations and so on, and 5G and some big CEOs in the conglomerate. So people don't trust IT in general, and also they don't know they don't understand the world of IT. There's a whole bunch of services available to nonprofit organizations for free that people don't generally know about. There's also, if somebody chooses a career in IT, it sounds very, what is the right word for it? Bewildered?
Yes, they feel bewildered, overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, yes. They don't know where to get information from, and people usually drop out in the internship because either they have chosen the wrong environment, it's not a nice environment to work with, or they're being discriminated against. So that the ball gets dropped, and then IT just gets this bigger divide, where IT is actually the world of milk and honey. There's so many jobs international. There's such a big skills shortage. I'm able to get work for people that haven't finished school, that only half finished it, and only started an IT career or an IT study. To give you an example, that's the demand for IT IT people, and even more so, taking out LGBT people that are kicked out of their houses, are burned down, or they end up on the streets. And my big aim is to pick these people up, get them schooled. Training is completely free, and that is, we're talking about all the IT IT industries. That's Facebook, Android, Microsoft. Because through all the accreditation, we get access to all the universities. As you build them up, give them a career, and then get them employed. So there's a career person as well that places them.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting. And I'd like to also mention Google has a huge amount of training and certifications in all of their platforms and so forth. That's completely free. And then you get the certification. And, you know, I don't want to sound as if I'm discouraging people from obtaining a college degree. However, the vast majority of professionals in the world do not work in the degree that they achieved. So they might have gotten an English degree, but they're now a human resource manager, or they might have gotten a degree in German language and is now a software developer, like my ex of 17 years, right? So he was a perfect example. And I can totally understand where you're coming from, where, you know, programming, if you just get into it, if you have a knack for languages, if you speak more than one language, or if you're open to learning a language, just think it's programming as a written language. Once you learn the syntax, just like you form a sentence in whatever language you speak, that is really the same thing. So I really liked that you said that because it's true.
The privacy is a definitely concern. To give you a practical example, Table Mountain was burning down. Recently, there were huge fires, and there was a whole wildlife. I'll send you some podcasts about it. But there are archives of LGBT material that has been kept for centuries. That's stored on removable hardware. And one of our services is to amalgamate that into the cloud and have that back up. They also have an archive kept in perfect conditions, some similar to what you get at the Vatican Church. Those documents, preserved. So the proposal was to scan those documents in, have it then indexable and searchable with the necessary privacy and security around it, but then have it available for scholars and for the purpose of sensitivity training in schools and so on.
Oh, very nice.
So one of the concerns was that they were going to lose a lot of sensitive information or precious information that has been gathered through all this, the centuries.
Very cool. And then, so who is your kind of a typical, and maybe we could talk about both sides, both your for-profit consulting practice and your nonprofit helping LGBT organizations. You know, what is your typical ideal client in both of those settings?
Okay, so the profit company creates cross-platform applications, and that is then the latest and greatest of Microsoft, called Platform Uno, and that gets published to the different app stores, the Apple Store, Android Store. You're speaking about Google. I just meant Android, but Google is the part of it, the AdWords and the Google marketing side. Facebook also has the same. There's now a developer side and a marketing side. So a typical client for the profit would then be somebody in the payment space who needs the app, or somebody that needs the app and is willing to pay for it. On the nonprofit side, we mostly look at NGOs in Africa. LGBT, lesbians, part of it, empowerment of women, those are the organizations that we deal with. We introduce them to the scary world of IT. We show them there's free services available. So we have them registered on the different portals. For example, Office 365 is available for free to nonprofits. And it's not something that anybody knows. So we get to have them registered. We have signed up with five big hardware and software suppliers. And it's an ISV and a CSP in that regard. So we introduce them to the scary world of IT. Then we show them the access and take them around the university access. They've got, as part of the nonprofit portal, they've got access to Microsoft University for nonprofits, for example. The same applies to the other tech houses as well. We have requests for Facebook credits or people just that needs to study Word, for example, and those things are available for them free of charge. So we introduce them to it. And then we have a discussion, we call it an off the record discussion, where we have an agreement of what information will we share and what information is precious to them, just to respect their privacy. And then we engage with them on what needs they have. Some people need apps, cross-platform apps, and in specific, we're going to kick off with a series of applications. That's what we wrote to the United Nations and the LGBT arms of the different tech houses. Some were introduced by you, and some we have had meetings before, and we basically have that connection. So one of these apps is what to do for an LGBT person in distress. So where to find information, shelter, food, basic needs, and so on. Our final drive. So all these apps are going to be hosted on different app stores, websites that are hosted by a local hosting company, mostly in Azure, but we have other partnerships as well, Amazon and Cisco, VMware and Dell. One of our big players in our company passed away from COVID about 3 weeks ago. He was very well known in the LGBT community, but he was also a very avid collector of vehicles. So he was a mechanic. We're going to take a drive to Mercedes-Benz, a vintage Mercedes-Benz, with a camera crew. We recently signed up this week with KSA Radio. They're going to do our podcasts, and we're basically going to go to each NGO, open up a training room at the NGO, kit it out with hardware from our five suppliers, and then launch the Microsoft Community Training platform there, and then also access to the different universities. We're going to then make podcasts of each trip and make a big deal of it with media and so on.
Very, very nice. Yeah. And what a great opportunity having those major technology brand sponsors and the marketing that they will get out of it. Yeah, I hope that they're also helping to fund this documentation.
Because the funding will mostly come from government and private investments, and then obviously fundraising. We're busy with a big fundraising campaign that will pay for the Azure consumption, the tables and chairs, and so on.
Okay, yeah, you mentioned right there the tables and chairs. So logistically, are you like having literally take everything, including tables and chairs? Because the NGO might not have all of that available.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're just basically providing the room and the people. Yes. But you're literally providing everything else.
Yes, wow. That's insane.
Okay. Well, you'll have to ask them to have all the people bring a food dish if at all possible. so people can stay and have lunch or something.
Most of these training material have been built around communities where there would be internet, for example, where they can come to class, download the training material for the week, do it at home, come back, write the examination. So there will be a high rotation of students. We've also signed up with a fiber provider who wants to access the market. As it turns, also lives in Jeffreys Bay, or they started an office in Jeffreys Bay. They will be providing internet access to the students.
This is, I mean, what a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, what a huge undertaking, but I absolutely applaud you for getting all of those sponsors involved, interested, involved, and taking action with you. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, you know, having, you know, being in the technology field with such a shortage of talent around the world, I would, you know, it's not only the opportunity to have those people support the organizations where they are, but that is talent that is a global need, people. So with the right certifications and a little bit of background, you could go almost anywhere in the world and likely get a job.
Yes.
And that could support if you are not feeling secure where you are based on your sexual orientation and gender identity, that is a great pathway to immigration and seeking asylum. I'm just saying. I talk with a lot of folks, and you know, if skills are needed, they're willing to, you know, fast track stuff. So there. And so is this, did I hear you say clearly that is this, all of this training and everything you do, is it South Africa only, or how many other countries, or is it the whole continent of Africa?
So far, it's the whole continent of Africa. The one NGO is in Nigeria. They have a lot of work for us. And then there's an organization in Congo, and then rest in South Africa, all over the country.
Wow. Very cool. You know, there's wonderful organizations out there that will do kind of like economic development programming for NGOs, helping, you know, them with small, helping educate the nonprofit leadership and, you know, being professional so then they can acquire grants to run their programs. And they do this in Africa. I did an interview with one of the organizations back. I can put a link up to it up here, you know, but there was, to my knowledge, there was no technology component to it. And so you're filling a gap that it seems like it likely didn't exist before.
Yes. Okay. So one thing that we get, one demand we get a lot is for dashboards and reporting back to the organizations that fund NGOs. Oh. So we're building Power BI dashboards for them to help them reporting, and also for statistical purposes, provide them a way to track statistics. There was an incident. What happened to the constituent, and the follow up, and so on.
So what I heard you say is you're providing a lot of, you know, reporting dashboards that help the NGOs create the reporting required by the grant providers. Yes. And also, and in part of that, it's not only the financial reports, but it's kind of like their impact. So we saw, let's say it's just like an AIDS prevention, HIV prevention. Okay. So this month we saw, we treated, you know, 300 people with vaccinations or provided PrEP or something. And we're constantly following up with the blood work and the distribution of the medication. So that helps then show that they are utilizing the funds and how many people they're impacting. Is that kind of what I understood from it?
That's it correctly, yeah.
Wow. That's very, very critical. And you know, very important, again, to show the justification and that the funds are being utilized appropriately with oversight. So it's very interesting what you're doing. And I'm so impressed with, you know, again, the level of organizations that you have involved. So are there, you know, maybe some other points that we haven't talked about that you would like to share?
Right. One important thing is we cover the entire broad spectrum of IT. I, in my life, have done 3D animated series, DSTV adverts, film and TV. So you have signed up with a casting agency. Some people are meant for programming. Some people are meant for TV or radio. And that is also one of the services we provide and one of the training avenues available to the constituents. And then quite a biggie. I studied through an organization, CTU Training Solutions, who was training partner of the Microsoft 2 years running. So I studied through them 20 years ago, and I'm good friends with the instructors from that time, or GPT. Face-to-face training to me is more valuable than online training because you make a human connection. That's basically what we're all about. It's a human deal, so the human and the human cares about human. So you contact the human element out of it. CTU Training Solutions has sent us a group from 45 to 77 students. Among them, 11 architects, 3 accountants, and then graphic designers, project managers, and then gaming students. I'm hoping to organize a HoloLens dev device so we can enter that market as well. But it's basically to provide them that exposure. So they are graduating students, and they're going to help create these apps for these NGOs. There's an entire list of them, and we're dividing all of them into the various projects. They've got a few hours of internship to do, and then we'll sign them off accordingly. We started the initial meetings with them already, but because of COVID, a few people went admitted to hospital, and so South Africa is a bit struggling at the moment.
Yeah, and that's neat that you use that training organization where you've had that long relationship with to provide their students real-world practical experience that's going to impact organizations. That's a great concept.
Yes, and then involved in projects that's actually going to the app stores, actually helping people. They're very excited about it, having their names and being associated to it. And then we get to choose the best of the best and pull them into an organization that's our aim to grow.
Sure.
To pull them in and then have them full-time employed.
Very cool. Like that. So are all those students also LGBTQ or they mix?
They mix.
Okay. So very interesting. So it's great that you have that resource available to you, and you're also then providing them value in a service. You know, you're providing those students the yes. opportunity to learn. So you're just all about helping other people.
Yes, I sent through the list of 77 students off to our training arm as well. So they're waiting for their graduation to place them. Some of the students may, that being said, some of the students may continue for a third year of study. We'll probably see them again for another year of another round of some practical, but there's jobs waiting for them. They're ready to be placed.
Very, very. With
an organization like that, yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I really like the model that you have built, and I hope that people listening, is inspired by that. And for anyone out there, you know, listening or watching here on OutBureau.com, after completing 30% of your professional profile, you're able to connect with others, direct message them, and then join groups. Currently, there is over 240 groups created on OutBureau.com, including South Africa, Guyana, Nigeria, and then one for Out Africa for the whole continent. And oh yes, of course, Out Techies and Out Gamers and a lot yes. of others. And I need to start one for nonprofits or anyone can create it. But very interesting. I really like what you're doing. What I'm looking for is, again, how can Out Bureau as an organization, kind of support the mission? And so one, what I'd like to invite you to do is, as you're doing those videos, obviously, post them on outbureau.com to get visibility. And obviously too, if you write articles, and this is for anyone listening in the audience that is a business leader, an entrepreneur, a community leader with an NGO, is Out Bureau is also, just like on LinkedIn where you can post articles on outbureau.com, if you're a member, which is for free, if you're an employer and want employer branding, that cost. But for anyone in the world to join, it's completely free. And then if you would like, you can create articles promoting your organization or your business, talking about the things that you do, as well as you can publish press releases on the site. And then, oh, by the way, all of that content is coalesced with all the other content, as well as then I social promote it throughout all my channels. So you're doing wonderful work. You know, if you have one of those interns or one of, I know you're obviously very busy, but if you'd have someone that would you like to contribute every now and then, or, you know, once a week, I don't care, every single day, whatever, you know, content that would gain further exposure for your organization. And again, that goes for any of the entrepreneurs and or nonprofit NGOs that might be watching or listening to this. Outbureau is an open platform for you. That's my vision. That's my goal. So where we can come together and help each other grow and through connections, I'm always open. So cool. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a while, and I'm very, very both impressed and inspired by what you're doing. And so is there any maybe, you know, last words?
Naturally, people, the very first LGBT people are naturally very apprehensive of what you want. What is it that you possibly, but it's as simple as just having our logo with your logo, just as a co-branding, just opens up more doors for everybody. So it's basically, that is the bottom line. And we deserve the best of the best. We've always had to settle for second best and used to be trampled on. Like I said, if you want a tank, I'll give you a tank.
Well, you're absolutely right there. And when we rise and we show that we are out and we're working professionally and we're, you know, having our nonprofits as professional as any other nonprofit out there, what that does is it shows that it helps reduce the discrimination and harassment, because they see that we are not cowering down. Because when you cower down, the bullies come out. So again, really love what you're doing there, and appreciate your time today to share with the audience. And for those in the audience, what have you found interesting here? Put us a comment down below in whatever website or application that you're listening to. And, you know, maybe what technical questions you have, you know, about your business or your nonprofit. What are your technical challenges? You know, maybe we could help chime in and give you some advice or point you to resources. And so forth. Again, I'm also interviewing. I so much appreciate your time today again. It was a wonderful conversation.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for meeting with me. And it's always great to connect with you.
Absolutely. Likewise. Looking forward
to your support.
And I look forward to having you back on and seeing some of those documentary episodes that will be forthcoming. Well, thank you, everyone, for staying tuned to this episode. We so much appreciate it. We hope that you learned something new today and maybe got some value and made you think about your own technology within your organization, or maybe even sparked interest to do something similar where you are. While you're here on YouTube or whatever application or audio app that you're listening to, be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button to be notified of all future episodes. We appreciate you and hope that you will consider joining outbureau.com today, because frankly, it's where you belong. I'm Dennis Falco. Bye-bye.